From Huben Elementary, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. Thanks for joining us on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in for another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. Today we're going to look at a question I've got here. It's like, how can you get kids to eat vegetables?
Sure.
And get them more involved in their food. And so we've sort of come down here to Huben Elementary because it's something I've been involved with and I'm kind of proud of. Their salad bar program.
Right. You've been pretty involved for the last few years.
For the few years, yeah. Yeah, I was in the beginning. I had to back out because of the restaurant.
Right.
But this year I've had some free time, so I'm kind of working my way back in and trying to help out where it's possible.
Perfect.
But we brought some guests with us today.
Yeah, we have some guests. Shannon Simpson is a holistic nutritionist, and she's joining us today, as well as Caroline Fisher from West Coast Expeditions. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yes, it's great to have you guys. Now, Shannon, you're organizing it at the moment and basically running it and making sure it all goes smooth and, and everything happens. And Caroline, you've been doing that for the last few years because the salad bar has been around for a few years now.
That's true, yes.
So I will just throw this out there. How can you describe the salad bar to people, to our audience?
Oh, boy. How do we describe salad bar?
It's a buffet of goodness.
Yes.
Deliciousness.
Absolutely. Great. Absolutely. And opening kids' eyes to new things, new foods, and experimenting more because they see their friends trying new foods, which is kind of exciting, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's eating that. Well, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe I'll try it too.
It's an interesting dynamic that you have this selection of all these wonderful vegetables and then bringing the kids in to sample them. So
it is.
So as the only person that hasn't actually seen this, because the three of you have all been involved, how do you actually have it set up? Like you just have like a long bar, the kids get a plate and then they can put what they like on it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's
okay.
Right. So it's a big long, it's called a salad bar unit.
Yeah.
Basically, these big, large plastic things with individual bins in it with each of the different ingredients.
Right.
And the students go through with a plate and serve themselves, or sometimes with the younger kids, we help serve them.
Right.
And because they have difficulty reaching it.
Uh-huh.
And they take what they want. And especially in the first years, I remember encouraging kids to try something new, like even if it's just two sunflower sprouts. And I'd say, hey, you know what? This will grow up into a sunflower if you actually let it grow, but it tastes so yummy right now. And I do remember that right off the bat, very few kids actually took sunflower sprouts. And now we go through them all.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's fantastic.
So that's one vegetable in particular that I know has been changed in the eyes of students at this school.
2 pounds we go through.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many kids participate?
Well, that has changed significantly this year, especially. And for, I think, many reasons. Mm-hmm. We have more people excited about salad bar because there's more volunteers helping out, too. And more volunteers means more parents, which means more parents are excited, which means more kids are excited.
Right.
But tomorrow we are actually, with volunteers, we are serving 191.
Wow.
That's compared to...
I was just going to say, I remember John telling me about the first few that he participated in, and like there was somewhere it was only a handful of students.
Yeah, the first month that we ran it in the spring of 2013, we had about 30.
Wow.
30 students and staff, and quite a few of those were staff, actually.
Yeah.
And after the first month, it caught on, especially with the adults.
It was a bit of a hard sell, I think, at first. Like, I know even with my own daughter, I was I'm going to go help out with the salad bar and try and get... you know, some fresh salad ingredients. He's like, no thanks.
I'm pretty sure, though, by the next school year, so I guess it would have been the fall of 2013, we were up to 60, and we kind of hovered between 60 and 100 for most of that first year.
Wow.
And then we kind of got over a hump, and it's just been growing and growing steadily since.
And I think it's, too, is the demographic of the kids have changed, do you think? Is, like, the new kids coming in are more interested in it? Is that the...
I think we had quite a big influx of students from Vancouver and the Lower Mainland this year, and I don't know the numbers, you know, as far as how many of the new signups for salad bar are from that group, but I do think that is playing a part of the increased numbers.
Yeah,
and I think it's just the kids seeing their friends go for it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, agreed. Absolutely. And I think keeping the themes rotating too is really important. So we're doing like 1 week. It's like, so tomorrow, for example, is pasta. So it's a we do a regular pasta and then a gluten-free pasta for gluten-free friends. Just a pasta sauce, and then the rest of the spread, which is your peppers, your cucumbers, your carrots, the sprouts.
Mixed greens.
Yeah, mixed greens. So, and then the next rotation will be like Asian, which is your bean noodles with the Asian cilantro sauce, which is amazing. Mm. And everybody fights over that one. Sure. And then the next week we do, actually I think we're doing pizza. Homemade pizzas, which will be interesting because we've never served 190 people pizza before. Wow. So that might be interesting. And then, of course, we do Mexican, which kids love. That's when you have the beans and the corn and the
tortilla chips
and the salsa.
Guacamole.
Guacamole, yeah.
All the good stuff.
And so, you know, it's amazing to me even how many kids wouldn't try guacamole or even hummus at the beginning of the school year. And now are, like, I can just tell by the amount that we're having to purchase now.
Right.
That more kids are trying.
Yeah.
Which is...
So it started more as, like, focused on salad, but now it's sort of a menu item that incorporates a lot of salad or vegetables or what have you? Or is that how... Am I misunderstanding?
We've always had the same vegetable selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, pretty much since the beginning, actually. And then we've always had at least one starch and one protein. Mm-hmm. So we developed these themes like Asian or pasta.
Right.
One day we serve locally baked buns.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's one of our themes. And we have wraps as well. So we just sort of modify the proteins to go with that or whatever. Yeah. And the dressings, the salad dressings as well. So
yeah. Yeah. Which...
Sorry. No. I keep interrupting.
No, no.
But it seemed... something that you mentioned there too, that you said based on the amount that you had to purchase now. So where does the funding come from? Is it self-sufficient? Or
yes.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. Well, we did get a few donations this year from Superstore. And I'm looking into something else. President Choice does a charity where they used to go into people's homes and give back to kids that were in need with different mental or physical disabilities. And now President Choice is focusing on giving, like, helping kids eat healthy.
Oh, wow.
So, and apparently nobody in the Comox Valley or even in Nanaimo tapped into this charity last year. Oh, and wow. There was people that were in Victoria that were actually giving money back because they couldn't use it all.
Wow.
So we're going to tap into this in March, so I'm hoping that will help. But yeah, one of the things that Arzina and Caroline and Miriam were very and still are very proud of was keeping the money at $3. So the idea is that not only do you eat healthy food, but you can afford to eat healthy food. And
right.
$3 when at start, which was, 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're still at three, and we are also making a significant profit now.
Right.
So that money is going back into school programs.
It sure is, yeah. That money goes back to the PAC, and that's used for anything from field trips to school supplies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of a win-win, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my other thought is, what do the kids get out of this besides this wonderful, healthy meal? And I'm always lovely just to see their plates as they go by, just to see how they've assembled and what ingredients they've done to make their salads. And it's so neat, like, especially when they've got a pasta and they make this beautiful pasta salad, or the wraps, which they turn into this beautiful wrap, and just how they eat it. But what do the kids also get out of this?
I just like the idea of seeing, like, one of the things that I know we've worked hard on is trying to encourage the kids to be mindful eaters. And in the sense of that, I mean, like, really being mindful about how much food you're taking, how much food you're putting on your plate, and really taking the time to eat that food and enjoy that food. And then when they come back, and quite a few kids come up and they're like, "Look, Shannon, I ate all my food," and they're so proud. So I literally grab them. I would whisk them into the kitchen. I go, "Caroline or Zena, look," and we give them a big applause, and they'd be so proud. Wow. And then that kind of energy just sort of moves along. And mm-hmm. it's kind of cool to see that the kids are really taking ownership that, you know, we're mm-hmm. the school that has this awesome salad bar, and they're proud.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're proud to be part of this. And that shows up, too, in just with how many kids show up at the door asking mm-hmm. if they can help mm-hmm. every oh, wow. single week.
Wow.
Can we help? Mm-hmm. Can we help? Can we help?
Yeah, and over the years, we have had quite a few student helpers, and I think they're always so excited to be part of it and to help by either chopping vegetables or peeling eggs or serving the right. food to the rest of the to the school. I think there's that piece of pride. And they'd also all talk about, you know, how they prepare food at home and, you know, what ways do they help their parents prepare food and what vegetables they like or what vegetables they don't like or foods that they love and don't love. And, I think that, Shannon said that pride piece. Mm-hmm. And also I think just being able to see fresh food prepared from scratch.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's also a really big part of it. I think that's been both educational for the kids, and obviously not every single student in the school gets to come into the kitchen and see what's been going on, but it's been happening in here, and
right.
we often overflow into the hallway with our preparations.
mm-hmm.
So yes. a lot Anytime of students, yes. I think yeah. there's an awareness of what goes into actually making mm-hmm. this happen. It's
yeah.
not something that we go in and pick up from a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Like you know, many of the hot lunch programs, which are fantastic, but this, you know, this is far more labor intensive in the school, and I think that the students, mm-hmm. I think they've learned something about what goes into making that happen as well. And
yeah.
then there's also an educational component about, yeah. you know, in season, we get as much of the produce as we can locally,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also part of something that we Shannon particularly was talking to each group of students this year, each classroom, and telling mm-hmm. them more about where the food comes from and,
oh, yeah.
and correlating that also to waste and why we don't want to waste this precious mm-hmm. food, no matter where it comes from, but especially that it's, you know, it's literally being grown here in the Comox Valley.
Right.
Which, yeah.
Well, I love that program you
yeah.
brought in about collecting all the waste. Like, I love the fact that we have a spatula there and the kids come and have to scrape everything off their plates. And then at the end of the day, they weigh it. And I was like, and the first day I was like, okay, this is cute, whatever. And then the kids coming up and being like, so how much waste was there today?
Yeah,
you know?
they
like,
want to know.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. It's really cool. Like, so mm-hmm. when I first came, so, I mean, Arzina and Miriam and Caroline, like, they were basically the three of them, like, mm-hmm. busting their butts for 4 years trying to keep this going. And a lot of interns from Marzina's farm, of course, as well. And then a few people here and there. But, I mean, I remember there was a day that Arzina phoned, and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it in. She's like, well, Shannon, there's just two of us today. I really hope you can make it. And I was like, holy, okay, I'm gonna make this happen, right? But now we've been able to grow the volunteers where there's 9 volunteers
wow.
a day to make it happen. If you include Alicia, who just showed up, brought all the groceries in,
right.
that's 10 volunteers a week to make this happen,
right.
which is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the cool part of that, too, is... I don't know where I'm going with that. No, we were talking.
It's okay.
We were talking about the waste. Mm. Okay. So now I'm back on track. So the waste was, so they didn't really have time to really focus on the waste because there was just so many little people trying to make this program happen.
Right.
Yeah. Right? You know, I was new to the area and I was like, no, we're going to make this happen. And so I went in with my daughter and we went into every classroom and we took this huge bin. And at that time, the waste was 13 pounds.
Wow.
And so when I talked to Arzina, I said, well, I don't know. What is 13 pounds of vegetables?
And she said, how many kids was that?
It was probably around 150, I think 140, 150 last year mostly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit higher occasionally, but yeah.
Yeah. And so I said, how much is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What does that look like? And Arzina said, well, you know, at the farm, if I was to weigh out those vegetables, 13 pounds of vegetables would feed a Comox Valley family for 3 weeks of vegetables at home.
Oh, my goodness.
So wow. when you put it into perspective like yeah. that, it's like, wow, you know, 3 weeks of vegetables at home. And, you know, you can, so, you know, when you get vegetables and you carry them home mm-hmm. in your bin, you know, they obviously, they're not compacted.
Right.
Like, we're talking like chopped up vegetables compacted and heaping into a bin. So
mm-hmm. right.
this is a lot of
waste,
right?
Yeah.
And so that I took it sort of upon myself, and we went into all the classrooms, me and my daughter, and we just did a little education thing, and then I thought, oh, let's get this scale, and it just kind of went from that, and we just watched it. And, wow. You know, part of it was just saying, kids, can I count on you? Can I count on you to eat that? And it's all in the delivery. It's not right. Like, hey, you didn't eat your vegetables.
Right.
It's like, hey, I see you got a lot of food on your plate. Can I count on you to eat that? And they're like, yeah, you can count on me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think that wording was brilliant, actually.
You know, yeah. You just give them the opportunity to take ownership, right?
Yeah.
That the whole waste program, I think, has been brilliant.
Mm-hmm. So you've seen it. You've seen it reduced
hugely.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we even had one day where we had 2.5 pounds of waste.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the last one we did, we had 5 or 6 pounds of waste, which was 160 kids or 70 kids.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like everything's being scraped into there,
mm-hmm.
and most of that's also not going in the garbage, right? You guys.
No, it all goes to my chickens.
There's enough chickens out there that get really, really happy dinners.
They are happy
Tuesday
chickens.
Nights.
I actually thought of taking a picture of my chickens eating all the leftovers last week just for fun.
That's hilarious.
Well, I wanted to know about. I'm thinking about other schools out there and other people who are interested in this program. How did you get started? How did it all sort of come to be?
Arzina was the main driver behind the whole program. She had recently moved here from the Lower Mainland and knew about the farm to school grant to make this all happen. So it was Arzina's genius and initiative.
We say that a lot.
Yeah,
Arzina is a genius.
Arzina is, you know. Yeah. And so it was thanks to her that the whole thing got started.
Right.
I certainly didn't know anything about it, but then. So she got the money for the initial investment in all of the equipment. So that was the salad bar unit, the plates. Forks, the most expensive piece was a commercial dishwasher, which I have to say is a lifesaver when you're washing 180 plus plates.
Oh, true enough.
Even when you're washing 30, it's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bunch of other pieces and, you know, from serving utensils to a food processor to
all the
blender,
bowls.
All the different things that we need to make everything from scratch.
Right.
So that all came from the initial grant from Arzina. And then there was an email that went out. And that's when Arzina asked for volunteers, and that's how I got connected with Arzina and the program. Mm-hmm. So for another school, I think the key is this grant, which, as far as I understand, doesn't happen every year. I know there is one other school in the Valley that was able to take advantage of it, and they're now in their second year of running their salad bar program, which is going really well.
Mm-hmm. Without having the books in front of you, do you recall what the startup cost was?
No, Arzina does know those numbers. Okay. I'm going to say it was around $10,000 initially, and we didn't use it all up right away. The biggest expense was by far the dishwasher.
The dishwasher.
Having that installed.
Yeah.
And then we had about, I want to say about $3,000, but I might be wrong, left over that we kept drawing on, you know, through the year if we needed to buy stuff. So it was great. Mm. Maybe not 300, that maybe it's 300, I don't know. Anyway, but, you know, we had to buy new plates because plates would get broken.
Right.
Or the forks went missing after the first year somehow.
They do that.
So things like that. Mm-hmm. And so you asked earlier whether the program is self-sustaining, and it is from week to week.
Right.
You know, we end up making more than we spend on the vegetables and whatever we're serving, but we wouldn't have been able to do this without the initial grant. And so Arzina has recently secured a second grant.
Yeah, I saw that in the
which
paper.
Is allowing us to expand and have a second salad bar unit, which is brilliant because with the numbers of people that we're trying to get through, lunch hour is very short. It's actually only 15 minutes that the kids have to eat. So we're actually starting to serve
at 11:15.
11:15, which is half an hour before the bell goes for kids to start to eat. And we're still at times struggling to get everyone through so they have enough time to actually eat what's on their plate before they have to go outside for recess at noon. So by having a second salad bar unit, we're all really excited about that because then we'll be able to get more kids through faster. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
So, and you know, demand might keep going up.
Right.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So those would be the main steps for another school. And I know Arzina has always been really happy to talk to other you know, other people that are interested in getting something started. And I believe there's also some information on the Farm to School website.
I saw the Farm to School website. Yeah. I checked that out.
I know TAS has had a program going a few years before we even started, and that's not an easy place to get fresh vegetables to. So
no.
although they do actually have quite a strong garden program there too. So so there's all kinds of neat initiatives.
So future, I guess we've just talked about it, just expanding the program and getting that second salad bar to get the kids through a little bit faster. What other impacts do you think the salad bar has had on the school or yourselves? Or
what's really neat is for the first, I guess, 3 years almost, we were the only school in the Valley doing this. And I think word got out and people knew, other parents knew, other schools got to hear about this amazing salad bar program and started asking questions and started looking into it. I mean, I think it had an impact to some extent Valley-wide and
beyond.
Yeah, actually.
Like I posted on my Facebook page, I had a girlfriend in Kelowna and she's like, what? Are you kidding? I need to come and visit you. I need to learn about how to do this. It's interesting because I moved over from the mainland just last year. I was quite involved in the kids' school on the other end. And she, like, a lot of my girlfriends that I still talk to can't believe that there's this salad bar happening at this school. And they can't
even
believe.
Every week, too. Yeah. It's not just once a month.
Yeah, it's every week that these kids have opportunity to this amazing food. And I think one of the things that it's pretty cool, it's like right now everything's not necessarily in season. Mm-hmm. But when food is in season, like we get our cucumbers and our peppers and our tomatoes from Fiesta.
Right.
Then I pass Eat More Sprouts every morning on the way here, so I grab all the sprouts on the way here. Then we support Grains Bakery, which is in town. John, you pick that up on your way. We also go to Seaford's Farm to get all our carrots, so again, keeping it local. Stevenson Farm, another volunteer, Karen Stevenson volunteers. She brings in all the eggs. And funny enough, we thought that the eggs were going to be more expensive, getting them organic and fresh. No, actually, they're more expensive at Costco, which we were like, what?
Yeah.
And then we have our kale from our garden. And then we had three times that we actually got our lettuce from the Vanier Garden, which is sort of the prep program.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And that is, I guess, another piece of our amazing
program. I just realized we didn't even talk about that. Yeah. You guys got to add that in.
We totally have to add that in because when we were starting out this year, we were kind of like a little bit in a pinch for volunteers. And I was like, what are we going to do? Like, I'm like, I love this salad bar, but this salad bar requires a lot of love and a lot of time. And I need to make sure that our volunteers are rotating and getting weeks off because we need it to be sustainable.
Right.
And if people are coming in every single week and putting in 7-hour days for volunteer time, nobody wants to do that. And that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So I connected with the woman that runs the prep program, Krista Ogilvy, and she is amazing. So she set us up with three students that are in that prep program.
From Vanier.
And they come with a support worker, and they do all the chopping of the cucumbers, all the chopping of the peppers.
And cherry tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes. And then they usually help peeling with the eggs, and then they set up all the salad bar, they bring out the plates. And then at the end, I remember the 1 week, they were done so fast because we had one of our volunteers that was like Speedy Gonzalez, and we couldn't put the salad bar out. And they were so sad that they didn't get to eat salad bar that day. And I was like, okay, we got to make sure that we pace ourselves and our awesome volunteers get to get their salad bar before they leave. And, you know, like, so awesome. So now, like, they're giving back to us. We're giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. We're getting this opportunity to get kids eating different foods, expanding their palate, and just being proud of their school, which is like that's a win-win all the way around,
and
right?
Being healthy, eating healthy.
Yeah. Well, I think we should finish up, but I definitely, I'm going to throw it out there, but if anyone is interested in finding out more or maybe wants to volunteer and be a part of the salad bar, who should they get in contact or where should that go to?
Yeah, you should contact me, Shannon, and I would love if you want to come out and volunteer at the salad bar at Hugh Bend Elementary. The more the merrier. I'm very proud to say that we're actually going to have a salad bar volunteer Christmas party this year.
Nice. Woo-hoo!
There's so many of us. It's awesome. It's a little salad all bar community.
Yeah.
We really have. And I think the kids have jumped on board with that because, I mean, like, we're here, we're having fun, it's this little camaraderie, and I think the kids are picking up our energy, and that's part of the reason, too, why I think Salad Bar is getting more
people.
Like,
the momentum behind it.
Yeah, I think exactly. It's just this great flowing energy of goodness.
So how do people get in touch with you, then?
Well, they can just contact the school and talk with the secretary, and...
Yes, and we'd love to hear any comments from you out there in the world. Let us know what you think about this podcast. Don't forget to check us out on any subscriber of podcasts. We'd love to hear some reviews, and if you give us a review on iTunes, that would be excellent. It kind of just gets us out there to a few more people.
Well, we want to thank Butcher's Block for their continued support, as well as the Atlas Cafe and Ivan's Truffles. Also, Beaufort Traditional and Kirsten Wood Music, as well as James Matilla's Multimedia. We couldn't do the show without anybody's support, so thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.